Thank you, Lynn, and hello, everyone. Hello, Lori. I want to tell you that, you know, you usually end on time. You're really good about that. And there's only been a couple of times that you've ended late, and each time I wasn't ready yet. If you'd ended on time, I wouldn't have been able to take the mic. And today was one of those days. I was talking to someone who needed to talk, and then I started getting ready, but, you know, just a few minutes before the top of the hour, but I wasn't completely ready and situated. And by the time you turned the mic over, I was ready. So, yeah, this is just a sign that we need to trust everything, right? In fact, that's why I didn't even type into you, usually I would type in, take all the time you need, but I was so occupied getting ready that I didn't even stop to type in, take all the time you need. So it was working out perfectly. I'm here in a different room than I usually am. I don't know if I probably won't always teach from this room, but I'm in Jasmine's room. Jasmine, my daughter, started college. We moved her in on Thursday. I think classes actually start tomorrow. She's there for a freshman orientation. But her room in my house, her room is really the best room in the house. She has this wonderful bay window that lets in a lot of light, and, you know, you can look out and see Pike's Peak. It's just this really nice space. And so I've moved a chair in here, and it's just so nice being in here that I thought I would try teaching from here. But as I was getting situated, I noticed it really isn't as perfect as being at my office. My office is much better, so I'll probably do it tonight only, and then I'll go back to working from my office because it is, the office is better for this kind of thing. But I'm sitting here in her room now. Also, I should say, while I'm thinking about it, I won't be here the next two Sundays in a row because I'm going to Ireland. I'm going down there to lead a spiritual retreat in Southern Ireland. So I'm not going to be here next Sunday or the Sunday after, and I will put that in writing and send that to L-Y-N, Lynn, and L-I-N, Lynn. But I see that L-I-N has heard me, so she knows. So, yeah, the next two Sundays I will not be here. Normally what I do in order to have a bit of quiet before I start teaching is that I play music, but my speakers are downstairs at my desk. I could play directly from my computer. But it's not going to be the same quality sound. Maybe what I'll do is just play a very, very short sound, a song. Because, again, if we have pure silence, sometimes people get concerned that there's no sound. And that way, if there's at least something playing, they know that we're just having silence. So let's see. Here's a nice, lovely short song. This is my gosh, there's one right after it, though, that's attracting my attention. So maybe I'll just go with this one. I don't even know what this song is. I have so many songs now that I don't know by reading the name of the song and the artist what they are. So sometimes just one jumps out at me and I take a chance with it. And that's what's happening now. There's a song here that's pretty short. It's by an artist named Julie True. And the name of the song is Love of God. Maybe you can hear why that's jumping out at me. That's a beautiful title, isn't it? Love of God. So I will play this song. We'll have a bit of silence, and then we'll get started with the seven steps. Here we go. Rain in me. Right into another song. Oh, what the heck, I love this song.
Brother, sun, and sister, moon, I seldom see you, seldom hear your tune. Preoccupied with selfish misery, brother wind and sister air, open my eyes to visions pure and fair, that I may see the glory around me. I am God's creature, of Him I am part. I feel His love awakening my heart. Brother, son, and sister, I now do see you, I can hear your tune. So much in love with all that I survey.
There we go. Very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. I'm glad we went ahead and listened to that music, even though I don't have my high-quality speakers. I saw Dances ask me a question. Will I be with Margaret together? Will I be with Margaret in Ireland? I'm not sure who Margaret is, and I'm also not sure who I'll be with in Ireland. The person who's bringing me over is named Patricia Black. But other than that, I don't know anything. All right. So we are going to look at 666 tonight. We started 666 last week, but if I remember correctly, we only did 666A. So we're going to start over with 666A and hopefully get all the way through 666 tonight. Hold on, I'm having computer problems. Hold on. I can't get to you guys. Okay, here we come. Whew. I thought for a minute I was going to get the night off. What happens is I have a Macintosh with a Windows side, and I use my track thing here to swipe back and forth. I just upgraded yesterday to a new Mac operating system, and I was unable to swipe over to you guys, but I did make it, so hopefully I'll be able to continue swiping back and forth like I usually do. I have Windows 7 on my Windows side. Yeah. So, all right, so hopefully I won't have any trouble like that again. Oh, it is going to be harder. Let's see. I have to learn the trick. Once I swipe away from you guys, I'm having a little bit more trouble getting back, which is interesting. Because I have to swipe over to the Mac side to read from my journal and then swipe back over to look at you guys. Maybe I don't need to look at you. I'm used to looking at you, though. We'll see how I do. Every time you make a software change, there's adjustments. There's new things to learn. Maybe I can find a keystroke that will allow me to go back and forth instead of the swiping if the swiping doesn't work as well. And I see Dances doesn't like 10. I was curious about 10. I'm very happy with 7, which is why I sit right here with 7. all right, so as I mentioned, we did 666A last week, but I'm going to do that again. And then I have all the way through 666E. So who knows, we might spend the entire night just on 666, which is a favorite number, right? It's a famous number anyway, 666, yeah. All right, so let me read quote 666 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. And I remember reading this last week. You might remember this as well if you were here. And I'm going to go ahead and read 666A. Yeah, 666 is fine. 666A from my journal. We did read this last week, but I'll read that as again. Read that again as a review. I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. So, what this is saying is somehow if we were formless individual mind, right? So we had the belief in the individual, the I thought, but it was pure formless without the body. That the belief in an individual I would not be as rooted, as anchored, as strong. It would be weaker, and it would be easier to transcend, overcome, or disbelieve. But when you take that I thought and you plant it with a body, with a me, then it's stronger. And especially when you put it in a world with lots of other bodies. And add space and time. My gosh, bodies who lived 2,000 years ago, and bodies who died last year, you know, they're no longer here. You know, it just really makes that sense of this is me seem very, very strong. And so that's really the only thing the journal is pointing out at 66A. And, you know, this is really something worth contemplating. Some of this stuff sounds so simple. But if you really contemplate it, at least this is my experience, if you really contemplate these ideas, like the idea that the I thought plus the body creates a stronger sense of I, somehow in the deep, deep contemplation of it, the undoing of it starts to happen, or at least a weakening of it. You know, whenever you really look at something with awareness, awareness is the light of truth. So whenever you really look at something with awareness, the light of truth, if what you're looking at is a false belief, it begins to weaken it. So, you know, most of us here in this room have studied A Course in Miracles, if not all of us here in this room, which means that we can say, oh yeah, I know. I am not a body. Oh yeah, I know. You know, dressing the body up, you know, makes us feel special, but, you know, that's just an ego trick. But sometimes we say these things, we sweep over these things very quickly. Oh yeah, I know, I get that, I understand. And we don't really sit and deeply contemplate. And I would say that is an ego trick. Because if we can intellectually understand something and therefore not deeply contemplate it, what we're doing is not shining the light of awareness on it for a length of time, right? We're very quickly glancing at it, moving on, and it gets to continue to thrive in darkness, continue to thrive in ignorance. But if we sat down with an idea as simple as, I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. And instead of saying, oh yeah, I get that. You know, I read that. I get that. If we just say, huh, I as a thought seems more substantial because of the body. And especially if we enter into inquiry with it, how is that true? In what way does this body that I experience as mine, in what way does this make me really feel separate? You know, and we start noticing how the body really makes me feel separate, really makes me feel individual, really makes me feel like a person. And we spend a lot of time, not a little time, a lot of time looking at this. Well, then what's happening the entire time that we're doing that is we're shining the light of awareness on the false idea, I am the body. We aren't just intellectually saying, oh yeah, I get that. We're continually, repeatedly, for a long period of time, shining the light of awareness on the false belief that I am the body. And again, the light of awareness is the light of truth. And when you shine the light of truth on a false belief, it begins to weaken. So although 666A sounds like a very simple idea, it's really wonderful just to spend time with that. Really contemplate it. Really look at it. You know what? What about my body helps me to believe in a deeper way that I am a separate person, right? So again, let me just read the quote that we're contemplating and read 666A, and then I'll move on because we did 666A last week. Mind is like a tree which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. And again, 666A says, I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. So now I'm going to scroll down and I'm going to click on 666B. Says, mental stories are the fruit of the I-thought and body connection, and mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I-thought even more. Again, mental stories are the fruit of the I-thought and body connection, and mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I thought even more. So here I am with an I thought and a body. And what happens as this body moves around in the world is this body has experiences, right? It has all kinds of experiences. Everybody does. That's what the senses do. They register the world in a way that causes experience. And as I have these experiences, my mind begins to chatter. In fact, again, you know, we've looked at this many, many times. And I'm having trouble typing tonight because I have a Band-Aid on my finger, but I'll do my best. But if it's not very good, it's the Band-Aid that kind of hits the wrong keys. It's bigger than the finger. But we've done this many, many times. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. Oh, that's good. I was able to type that. But notice this says, what I experience, I think. And of course, that begins the loop again. So here I have a body with senses. that takes in all kinds of information about the world, and I have experiences. Well, my experiences then lead to me thinking. And by me thinking, I mean thinking about me. That's what I mean by me thinking, right? The experiences that the body register lead me to me thinking. It could be positive me thinking. It could be negative me thinking. It could be remembering me thinking. It could be imagining me thinking. But all of this me thinking is generated by the fact that this body has experience. We talked about just a moment ago that if there was an I thought without a body, it would be weaker, right? The I thought would be weaker if it didn't have a body. And now we can see why. We can see that the experience that comes from a body, right, from smelling things, tasting things, hearing things, seeing things, touching things, right, the experience that comes from the body leads to more me thinking or I thought thinking, which means the I thought, the concept of me, is getting strengthened because of the body experience. So again, 666B says, mental stories are the fruit of the I thought and body connection, and mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I thought even more. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there is nothing that I can do right now, or if there is, I'm not aware of it yet. There is nothing I can do to stop having a body experience. Not a thing. So does this mean, if there's nothing that I can do to stop having a body experience, does this mean that I'm stuck with a strong I thought since the body's experience increases the strength of the I thought? And the answer, at least as far as I know, is no. A firm no. And why is that a firm no? Well, because this line that I have typed into the room says, what I experience, I think, right? And I think is what strengthens. That's the part that really, really strengthens the I thought. So I may not be able to stop the experiencing, because that's just what bodies do. They experience. I mean, right this second, you know, I mean, I'm looking with my eyes. I'm listening to my own voice with my ears. You know, I'm feeling the chair I'm sitting on, the computer on my lap, the Band-Aid on my finger. You know, bodies experience and they don't stop. But I don't have to think about the experience. This is where, at least I feel, some sense of ability to let go. When I find that there was an experience in my... For example, this week I took my daughter to college. That's a fairly significant experience, at least in the life of a mother. You know, Jasmine's my only child. She's been with me for 17 and a half years, and now suddenly she's not here. And I've experienced some sadness about this, but what I haven't experienced is lots and lots of chatter. And I know that other parents, at least some other parents, experience lots and lots of chatter. How do I know this? Well, when I took Jasmine to school, they had a day and a half of parent meetings, and I listened to the questions that the other parents were asking, and I could tell there was lots and lots of chatter leading up to those questions. You know, here I am, trusting the experience, sure, feeling some sadness at letting go of, you know, the mother role, being a full-time mother at home, you know, with a daughter at home. But I'm trusting the entire experience. I'm even trusting my own feelings as completely natural and knowing that this transition is happening in the perfect way at the perfect time. And, you know, and I can hear all of these questions. And I know there's lots and lots of chatter happening in the minds of some of these other parents. We're all having the same experience. but I don't have to have the chatter. And if the chatter was there at an earlier time in my life, there was a whole lot more chatter. If the chatter was there, I can be practicing what we call forgiveness, which is continually letting go of the chatter in whatever way I let go of the chatter. And for me, in the beginning, the way that when the chatter was heaviest was in the beginning. And by the beginning, I mean the first 5 years. And for me, in the beginning, the way I used to let go of the chatter was literally, I would say, Holy Spirit, I give this to you. And you know what's amazing about that, at least in the way that I did it, is that when I turn something over to Holy Spirit, at least for a moment, in the beginning sometimes only a moment, but for a moment I was trusting, I don't need to think about this again, right? Now, in a moment, it came back again because chatter was my habit. And so I would turn it over to Holy Spirit and there'd be another moment of, I don't have to think about this. And then chatter, chatter, chatter. Holy Spirit, once again, I give this to you. And somehow, you know, over years of just doing this, just continually turning things over, somehow it's developed into a mostly natural trusting. You see, with my daughter going to college, there wasn't a single thing, not a single thing, I had to turn over to the Holy Spirit. Not a single thing that was weighing heavy on my mind that was chattering. I was naturally in a state of trust, naturally in a state things are unfolding fine, right? Because those little moments that maybe only seemed to last a moment when I used to turn things over, those moments became the new habit. That moment of trusting, that moment of I don't need to think about that. And you know what happened? There were lots of things that I needed to do that I wasn't thinking about. And you know what would happen is my boyfriend would say something like, have you thought about this yet? Like, oh, no, I haven't. Am I supposed to be doing? Yeah, you're supposed to be doing that. Oh, okay, well, let me see where I need to go and do that. You know, or I get an email from the school, or my daughter would get an email from the school and she would forward it to me. I didn't have to worry about all this stuff. Somebody showed up every step of the way saying, oh, here's what you got to do now. This is what's got to be done now. I didn't have to carry any burdens around with me, right? So the point is, let's rewind back to the point, away from my personal story. Bodies can't help but experience. I experienced letting go of my daughter, you know, as a full-time person who lives with me and that I care for. And there was some sadness. That's an experience. That there doesn't need to be any chatter. The experience comes, the experience goes, and then guess what? The next experience comes. Whatever that next experience is, whatever tomorrow is going to bring. But the chatter doesn't need to happen. And it's really the chatter that is strengthening the I thought. So if we can live in the current experience fully, by the way, that was another thing that I really felt when there was some sadness coming this week, was to go fully into that. In fact, what happened for me was I really saw it as a very precious, precious moment, even the sadness that I really wanted to embrace fully. And some of you know that, you know, as I did that, I felt so connected to mothers, not only all over the world, but throughout history. You know, one thing mothers have been doing forever is at some point letting go of their children. And I felt so much deep connection in that sadness. And I actually saw the sadness as a form of beauty. And I remember at one point when I was sitting on the back porch with the sadness, somehow I was so aware of the wind, so aware of the birds, so aware of everything. I was going so deep into the sadness, not in a chatter way. This is what's important. You know, it wasn't in a chatter way. It was just allowing the present experience to be here fully. And as I was allowing the present experience to be here fully, everything about the present experience was here fully. The wind on my face, the sound of the birds. I remember at one point I was standing and really feeling my feet on the ground in a very, very aware way. So we can be completely into the experience, regardless of what the experience is, even if it's not what people would call a happy experience. although there was still, if I saw it as preciousness, there was obviously still a joy there. But it wasn't, you know, laughing and giggling, it was crying. We can be with an experience completely. And if we're with the experience completely in the way I've just described, without the mental chatter, it doesn't increase the I thought. It doesn't strengthen the I thought. So again, 666B says, mental stories are the fruit of the I thought and body connection. And mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I thought even more. So let's learn to let go of the mental stories, right? Let the experience happen that's going to happen through the body. Because like I said, I don't know about you, but I can't make the experience stop. When I eat food, I taste it. but we don't have to be thinking about the experience all of the time. And Dansa says, our job is done when they don't need us anymore, referring to the parents. Yeah. All right, so what I'm going to do now is scroll down and click on 666C. And I'm also going to read 666 again, just the quote that we are contemplating. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. So now I'll read 666C. Because, what was that? Was that you?
Sorry.
That's okay. It didn't bother me. I just didn't know what it was. See, I had an experience. Just like that. I heard something. That's the way the body is. Because mind is a projection mechanism, the outward appearance, manifestation of mental stories, reinforces the I thought and body connection, which once again strengthens the idea I. So let me read this again. Because mind is a projection mechanism, the outward appearance or manifestation of mental stories reinforces the I thought and body connection, which once again strengthens the idea I. So I've typed into the room, and it's still on the board, what I think I see, right? This is really the part we're focusing on now. What I think I see, and see means perceive. So let's imagine a different story than the one that I told you I actually experienced with my daughter. Let's imagine that, that I'm the worrisome parent. I'm thinking of some of the questions that were asked in the parent meetings. So I am just completely worried that, you know, without me around to control my daughter, she is just going to go crazy. You know, she is not going to study, she's going to do nothing but party, and, you know, she's going to be driving in a car with drunk people and get in an accident. This is what my mind's, this is the vision I have. This is the vision that I have. Well, what's going to happen, even if none of that happens with my daughter, what's going to happen is there's going to be a news story, for example, of some killed who was killed. And what's it called? A rush sorority? Is that a rush or rave? Or?
I guess rave. I don't know.
Rave. Well, you know.
I didn't go.
You didn't do. See, Danielle was a good kid. Yeah, I think it's a rave, maybe, or a rush, or maybe both. But, you know, there's going to be some news story about some kid who was, you know, wanting to go into a fraternity or a sorority and you know, had to do something and was killed, right? And that's going to freak me out, and I'm going to be even more worried about my kid, and then I'm going to hazing. Oh, needed a rush. Yeah, hazing. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. I think Lynn was probably a good kid too, but she knows these things. So hazing, or it could be a rush, she says. You know, I'm going to see this news story. I'm going to panic. I'm going to call my kid. My kid's not answering the phone. You know, I'm going to have this huge perception, even if there isn't anything in manifestation. I'm going to have this huge perception that's really going to affect my experience because of what I've been thinking. Right? And because I'm going to perceive it in some way, again, a news story that might not even catch someone else's attention, is going to be totally occupying every moment. I'm not able to concentrate on my work. I'm not able to concentrate on the conversation I'm having with someone else because I'm so thinking about this news story and where is my daughter and what is she doing and why isn't she answering the phone, right? And do you know what all of that is doing? That's reinforcing I. That's reinforcing me. That's making this sense of a separate individual self, a mother, even specifically in this particular case, it's making all of that more real, more reinforced, stronger, right? So what happens is I think about something and then in some way, I see it. I perceive it. It could be something directly. You know, my daughter could get into some kind of trouble, right? Or have some kind of an accident. But it doesn't even have to be that. It could be somebody else's kid that I see on the news. In some way, because I'm so focused on something going wrong, in some way I'm going to have that experience. And then that experience, that perception, reinforces I, me. So again, it's really the same thing that we look at so many times when I'm doing the seven steps teaching. I'm going to type it in again now. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. And what I experience, I think. Right? This is just being said again in another way, but what it's pointing out is that this body connection that we have is a big part of this. This isn't just mental. It's mental plus, I'm going to call it the senses. Mental plus the senses reinforces all of this even more. And again, I don't know about you guys, but I can't let go of the senses. At least not without doing some kind of extreme destruction to the body, which really I don't recommend. You know, the body, as long as the body is living, there is feeling, there is seeing, at least for most of us, hearing for most of us, taste, smell for most of us. You know, these things are present. And so experience is registering all of the time. But what about the thinking? You see, if I wasn't doing the thinking, then I would not be having as many, I'm going to call them false perceptions, that are reinforcing the I thought. There can be true perception. True perception is experiencing in a different way, and true perception does not reinforce the I thought. True perception, a good way to describe true perception is being with what is, right? But false perception has all of the ideas, all of the thinking built into it and reinforcing itself, which also reinforces the I. Jamie's snoring. Because mind is a projection mechanism, the outward appearance of mental stories, again, reinforces the I thought and the body connection, which once again strengthens the idea I. So now I'm going to click on 666D. I'm going to read the quote one more time before we go into this. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. All right. 666D. Enjoyment experienced because of the personality's wishes and preferences reemphasize the idea of I. The thought of a future and the preferred way the future should be strengthens the idea I. So enjoyment experienced because of the personality's wishes and preferences re-emphasize the idea of I. So how is it that enjoyment re-emphasizes the idea of I? What I experience, I think. You know, if I hold on to the past, even because that past, you know, in the mind of this personality was so wonderful. Let's say Jasmine. Let's just use Jasmine all night tonight. Let's imagine that my chatter wasn't the worrisome chatter looking forward. Oh no, you know, something bad might happen in college. Let's say my chatter was more the nostalgic. Oh, we did this together, and just constantly, you know, filling my mind with the memories of the 17 and a half years that we lived together. And, you know, what it was like being in the house together day after day, and, you know, how wonderful that was, and how we laid on the floor and we giggled and we, you know, ate together and we walked together and, you know, went to movies together and just whatever else. You know, I'm constantly thinking about it. Guess what that's doing? I mean, I'm happy. I like it. I'm very pleased with all of these wonderful memories. It's reinforcing the I. It's reinforcing the I. You know, most people would say, there's nothing wrong with fondly remembering your daughter. And there's nothing wrong with fondly remembering your daughter. Not in the way that you're guilty if you're fondly remembering your daughter. But to be so occupied with that is just going to continue to reinforce the I thought. That's what this is saying. Enjoyment experienced because of the personality's wishes and preferences re-emphasize the idea of I. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't enjoy things. You know, I can enjoy whatever comes next. I enjoy it and I be with it while it's here. And then I enjoy and I be with whatever's here next. And then I enjoy and I be with whatever's here next. I don't want to be mentally clinging to a past or even a future. I mean, I think I've mentioned to you guys before, one of the things that I used to do is I used to always be caught up in a daydream, a fantasy about my next upcoming vacation. You know, that was pleasurable, right? I didn't worry about my vacations. I was imagining, you know, how wonderful it was going to be. But that reinforces the I. Nothing wrong with going on vacation if that's what happens in one's life naturally. Nothing wrong with enjoying being there. But also nothing wrong with enjoying being here. You know, just enjoying every moment exactly as it is. That's really what it's about, and not clinging to any special moment as being what I want or what I like. Because when I cling to something as what I want or what I like, I is being reinforced. Enjoyment experienced because of the personality's wishes and preferences re-emphasize the idea of I. The thought of a future and the preferred way the future should be strengthens the idea I. Again, we're talking about thinking. I'm going to scroll down and click on 666E. Again, the quote we're reading. Mind is like a tree which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. So 666E, my last journal contemplation on this quote. Resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from oneself. Resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from oneself. So what this is really saying is that you do have a better guidance. You know, and I can't tell you what your better guidance is, but I'm going to just going to make up a story, because making up a story is a great way to give an illustration. So I'm going to make up what your better guidance is. I'm not saying this is your better guidance. Are you clear on that? I don't know what your better guidance is. But in my made up story, your better guidance is you've got this sense that what you should do now is maybe stop watching television in the evening time, which is maybe what you've been doing ever since you can remember. But you're noticing that you're actually even kind of bored when you're watching the TV. There's just nothing there. Some of it even is starting to show up in your dreams when you go to sleep at night, and you know it's just not healthy ideas that you're filling your mind with the shows you're watching. And so you're starting to get this sense that what you should do in the evening is just turn on some gentle music, maybe do some spiritual reading, maybe do some yoga or light stretching, maybe even spend a little bit of time, you know, in house cleaning when you feel like you need to move about, maybe doing some dusting or something like that. But it should be slow and contemplative and very aware, even while you're doing the house cleaning. And you just really have this sense that this is what you should do. Light music, some spiritual reading, some yoga, maybe a bit of meditation, maybe some light house cleaning. And this is how you should be spending the evening hours. And yet every evening, when the evening comes, you're like, oh, not tonight, not tonight. And you turn on the TV, right? Every night. Okay, not tomorrow night. I'll start that. Tonight, I'm going to turn on the TV. Well, 666E says, resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from one's true self. Well, first of all, what is it that is really giving you this intuitive sense that there's a different way that you should be spending your evenings, turning off the TV and doing these other things? What is it that's giving you that sense? Isn't that in some way coming from your true self, letting you know that it's time for this change now, that it's time to start spending the evening time differently? And so if you are every night saying, not tonight, tomorrow night, but tonight I want to watch TV. I just don't feel like making that change right now. You know, I want to do this one more time. Okay, Let me just say these words to you in another way. I am separate from that which is prompting me, and I want to do it my way. Listen to what 666E says again. Resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from oneself. You are separating yourself apart from that intuition or that guiding sense. You're basically saying that is not what I want. You're firmly setting yourself apart from yourself. And you are strongly embracing the false self as who you are. I want to watch TV, right? This is what I want to do, even though there's this intuitive sense to do something else. I want this. You see how in resisting guidance, you are actually strengthening the idea of the false self? Resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from oneself. So this is where, you know, if Ramana Maharshi was here and joining in this conversation, co-teaching with me, you know, Ramana Maharshi might pipe in now and say something like, you know, well, if this happens, you know, where you have this guidance to not watch TV, to spend your evenings in a different way, and you still feel every night that you want to turn on the TV, try asking, who is it that wants to turn on the TV? Or what is it that wants to turn on the TV? Who is the I that wants to turn on the TV? Right? He would actually recommend that you start examining this and looking at this. And if you start examining this and looking at this instead of just, you know, blindly, habitually turning on the TV every night, you might start to see that the I that wants to turn on the TV is the false I. You might start to see for yourself as a direct experience that this is just a habit that is keeping the idea of the false self alive. And if you really have a heart-driven desire to know your true self, that alone might be enough to say, okay, nope, I'm not turning on that TV. I'm going to turn on this music and I'm just going to sit here and be still for a moment, and then, you know, this book, I feel like starting with this book. I'm going to do some reading from this book. It feels like the one I should be going into. So again, resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from one's self. So that is 666E, and I just now looked up at the time. Good thing I looked up at the time. I haven't done that the entire time I've been talking. It could have been, you know, half an hour after for all I knew. But I see I still have 4 minutes. 4 minutes is not enough time, at least I don't feel, to go on to 667. So what I'm going to do with this last 4 minutes is I'm going to read 666, the quote from the 7 Steps to Awakening again. And then I'm just going to read each of these journal entries right in a row so that we can hear them all and contemplate them all one more time. So, 666. Mind is like a tree, which is firmly rooted in the vicious field known as body. Worries and anxieties are its blossoms. It is laden with the fruits of old age and disease. It is adorned with the flowers of desires and sense enjoyments. Hopes and longings are its branches, and perversities are its leaves. All right, 666A. I, as a thought, seems more substantial because of the body. The I thought plus the body perception generates a stronger belief in I. 666B. Mental stories are the fruit of the I thought and body connection. And mental stories reward this connection by strengthening the I thought even more. 666C. Because mind is a projection mechanism, the outward appearance of mental stories reinforces the I-thought and body connection, which once again strengthens the idea I. I'm going to read that one again. Because mind is a projection mechanism, the outward appearance of mental stories reinforces the I-thought and body connection, which once again strengthens the idea I. 666D. Enjoyment experienced because of the personalities, wishes, and preferences reemphasize the idea of I. The thought of a future and the preferred way the future should be strengthens the idea I. 666E. Resisting one's conscience or one's better wisdom accentuates the idea of I and firmly sets I apart from oneself. And again, for me, in summary, this is really saying in a different way, what I think, I see. What I see, I experience. What I experience, I think. And for me, the easiest way out of this loop of experience, which again is reinforcing the false I, is letting go of the thinking. Letting go of the mental chatter. And I don't know if you guys have heard the story about how I once asked the question way back when I was a very new course student and reading about forgiveness, but I really had no idea what forgiveness was. I asked the question, what is forgiveness? And later that day or a couple days later, I was typing in my journal and I was typing this sentence, maybe all I have to do is let go of this chatter. And when I wrote that sentence, I had this strong deja vu experience that just felt like I'd just written a very important sentence, that I just discovered what forgiveness is. Maybe all I have to do is let go of this chatter. The inner roommate, as Michael Singer calls it, yeah. All right, you guys, I'm done. I believe you guys will be spending time with Tony next. I personally have a meeting, so I'll be going to a meeting. But you guys enjoy being with Tony. Good night.
Thank you so much, Regina. And enjoy your trip in Ireland. Wow.